All right, let's stand briefly, if you are able, and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Sometimes the message is very, very specific to one something we're doing, and that's the deal this morning. We're going to talk with one by one coming up, and of course our fall program. I want to speak something specific about that, and sharing our faith and so forth, and reaching out to others in need. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. We will read till verse 26. We'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Luke 5, 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed, a man, which was taken with palsy. They sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. I pray this morning in the few minutes we have that you would just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, people talk a lot about the word faith, and they talk about faith, and most people haven't a clue what faith is. For some, faith is nothing more than a warped belief that I will get what I want. You ever hear someone say, boy, you can get it if you just have enough faith? Well, it depends on what you're trying to get, okay? It's not some excuse just to get whatever it is you want. For some, it's a comforting thought about something they've never really studied or understand. I'm okay because I have faith. They've never cracked open their Bible. They've never been to church. They know zero about God, but they're okay because they have faith. For some, faith is just a glorified wish that things will get better without any effort on my part. Oh, I just believe by faith it's all going to work out, not if you don't do anything. You know, it's kind of our head in the sand. There are some that believe, and we don't because we just kind of try to follow the Bible, that if you have faith that you should be rich. God wants you to be rich. And you can be rich and get what you want just by having the faith to believe it. We call those prosperity preachers, and usually the only people that are prosperous in their churches are the staff, because it's not a biblical concept. But what is faith? We really need to understand what faith is, because it's a big deal. God says it's really, really important, because in Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So if it's impossible to please him without faith, we might want to know what it is, and we might want to be doing what it says. Faith is only as strong as that which it's attached to. You can have, some people have faith in faith. If you just have enough faith, everything's going to turn out, and their faith is in their faith. No. Well, I just have faith that no, faith is only as strong as that which it's attached to. Therefore, if your faith is attached to God, your faith is strong, because God is strong. Faith is nothing more, nothing less, really, to boil it down to terms we can understand, believing God enough to do what he says and trust what he does. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, I believe God enough to do what he says, and to trust what he allows to happen to come my way in life. That's really what faith is. So what is the best use of your faith? So we think about our faith, our belief in Christ, our trust in him and everything. What is the best use of our faith? Well, I'm going to tell you one of the best uses of your faith. By obeying God, by sharing that faith, and using that faith to lead others to that faith. That's really the best use. The best use of our faith is when we take it and we share it with somebody else so that they can receive that faith, that they can trust in our God. The text that we read, Jesus is teaching a crowd. Among are many who are skeptical, and some are just downright enemies. They're basically, as always would happen with Jesus when he would talk to a crowd, there was a lot of them there that in some settings that were just there to see if they could trip him up in his words, find something, kind of get under his skin, but it never did work. But as he is teaching this crowd, there's a group that brings a man who is bedridden. And through extraordinary effort, they get this man to Jesus Christ. But when they get there, they can't get him in. The room is crowded with those who are basically Pharisees and lawyers and those that are just curiosity seekers to see what Jesus is saying, to see if they can trip him up. So they have a problem. They can't get in. But they believe so much that this man can be healed by Jesus Christ that they don't quit. So they go to the roof. It's like, well, let's get up to the roof. And they get up to the roof and they move some of the tiles. And as Jesus is there teaching this crowd, he looks up and here's this guy hanging right in front of him. I guess now Jesus has no choice, you know. It's the elephant in the room. There's someone hanging right in front of you. What are you going to do about it? And of course, Jesus uses this as an opportunity to get on the Pharisees and the lawyers. But he also heals this man because of what these men did. Because the man who was healed, look, why did Jesus heal this man? Could be because this man had faith in Jesus, but the Bible doesn't tell us that for sure. I'm sure that maybe he wanted to be a part of it, but the Bible makes it very clear that there was faith involved in this man's healing. But you know whose faith it was? It was the faith of those men that brought this man to Jesus. It says these men brought him down and they put him through the roof. And then it says, and when he saw their faith, he's referring back to the men that carried him all this way, to the men that came to the door and they couldn't get in, to the men that went to the roof and cut him down, to the men that dropped him right in front of Jesus and said, we've done our job, do something, in essence. When he saw their faith, he healed this man. That is one of the best uses of faith, when we use it to bring others to Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Well, there are several things I want to point out very briefly this morning. Look at verse 17. One of the reasons it happened is because they were aware of Christ's ability to heal. In verse 17, it says, speaking to the crowd who's there, to the lawyers and the Pharisees, and it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In other words, in the midst of this crowd that was there, Jesus was willing to do something. The power was there for someone to be helped. The power was there for someone to be healed. But unfortunately, the crowd that was there didn't get it. They had no awareness. It had to be these men that came from the outside. They knew it, and that's why they went there. But the people that were right there next to him, they didn't get it. But thank God there was some people that were aware that Jesus Christ could do something. You know why we need to go out? Do you know why we need to share our faith with others? Because Jesus can heal them. We ought to be aware of that fact. By the way, If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to already be aware of that. What was the quote from Spurgeon that Brother Bobby gave? If you don't share him, then you really don't know him. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you know him, you know of his power to save you. So therefore, why would we not want to share that with somebody? Many of you here, you've come in the past and you've gotten saved in the past. And you know, look, I always say, in our church, we you know, you want to look like saints, but you're not saints. I know a lot of your past. And if you've been around, you know, this guy was bad. But you know that none of us grew up in church. There's a few now. By the way, that's the best. Those of us that came in for our children, that's the best. That's the best. But that's not who we're talking to today. You know, people come to church sometimes, I wouldn't fit in. They're all a bunch of saints. Listen, come to my office, bring me a coffee, give me a half an hour, and I'll inform you. Probably $50 too, because I'm going to take a lot of flack. Listen, I know what you were like. And you know what you were like. And if God did something in your life, then you know he can do something in someone else's life. So why don't we share him? Why don't we try to get them to church? Why don't we try to get them to a place and get them to meet a person who can do something great in their life? We have to be aware of his ability. There was those that were there for the wrong reason, but thank God someone knew that there was someone there that could do something to help them. Let's not limit God. You say, well, we'll just put a sign up and people will just come. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Now, occasionally we have someone that says, I just drove down the road, you know, and I saw your sign and we came to church. But most of the time, you got to be invited. There's got to be someone saying, listen, why don't you come to church? Or someone that tells people about Jesus Christ and tells them about the Lord. But we won't do that if we're not aware of his ability to heal. I also noticed that another quality of these men in their faith, they took the initiative to bring him to Christ. Initiative. Listen, anybody in that room could have been healed or brought someone to be healed. I don't think it's just some extra word that was thrown in the Bible when it's talking about this crowd that's there and he's teaching. It says, hey, and the power of the Lord was there to heal. No one took advantage of it. But there were some that took the initiative. They didn't wait to be prodded. They weren't just comfortable being where they were. They weren't just comfortable being who they were. They wanted others to know him, and so they took the initiative to get out and bring someone to Jesus Christ. Nothing gets done unless someone takes action. By the way, I guarantee you, there are people in this world that only you may be able to reach. You have a relationship with them that maybe somebody else doesn't. Maybe you're the only Christian in their area of influence. Could be someone you work with. By the way, if you work right and you act like a Christian, you're going to have opportunity. I don't know how many places I worked where you know, these guys, and there was several guys there that said they were Christians. They didn't act like it. And by the way, they were horrible testimonies. I tried to do my best I could, but I don't know how many times. I remember one guy, and I'm in the back of the warehouse, and this guy sneaks up to me almost like real quiet. He goes, I got to talk to you for a minute. And this guy was very foul-mouthed, Mr. Cool Cat. And he's like, something devastating happened to his family and his marriage. He's like, I need help. He didn't go to the other guys. Listen, let's be a testimony. Okay, you may be the only person that knows Jesus Christ around them that can influence them. Let's take the initiative to bring people to Jesus Christ. You know, we heard about missions within the last few weeks, and thank God we're all in on missions, and we always will be all in on missions. And many of you committed to give. By the way, the giving has started now. Thank you. Let's give that money. We're taking those missionaries on by faith. I'm not waiting to see if you turn your money in. By faith, I know that you're going to do that, and so we're taking those new missionaries on. We're going to do it. And you say, man, I'm giving to missions, and I'm all in on missions. Listen, missions didn't stop last week. We have to keep giving and praying for our missionaries, but the second part of missions that maybe you didn't catch, you're a missionary. I'm not going to the other part of the world. You're a missionary. Listen, anytime you meet somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, you're a missionary. I heard someone say one time, every Christian is a missionary. Every lost person is a mission field. That's true. But we have to take the initiative. Well, I'm going to give. I'm not called to go. Amen. Give. And maybe you won't go. But I'm going to tell you something. As soon as we get away from the church property, you've already gone. They're everywhere. Let's help people. Let's take the initiative. Thirdly, they saw an opportunity and not just a problem. They saw this man, which was in verse 8, with a palsy, bedridden, couldn't move. And they didn't say, oh, what a bummer. This poor guy. Someone should do something about that. Someone should take him to the hospital, and what is the government doing to help this guy? You know, these guys said, this guy has a problem, but he's also an opportunity. See, Jesus doesn't need to heal those that are already whole. That's the kind of people Jesus wanted. Opportunities. Do we see people as opportunities? People have problems. By the way, I know, you have problems and I have problems. We all have problems. But sometimes we need to realize if we've been serving the Lord and things going pretty well, our problems are nothing to compared to what people that don't know the Lord face sometimes. Right? You ever talk to somebody, they have a problem, and you come home and it's like, my situation isn't that bad. You meet someone, maybe it's at work or something, and they're telling you about their marriage problems, which is not a good idea to tell everybody, but they're telling you about their marriage problems, and you go home and it's like, my wife's pretty good. Even at her worst, she's pretty good. And by the way, at your worst, you're not pretty good. But yeah, they have problems. And those aren't just problems. By the way, I wish everybody that came to our church, this is carnal, pastor speak, you know, they come in and say, hi, we're here. Where do we sign up for membership? You know, their first Sunday, it's like one by one. I was wondering when you went out and shared. By the way, where's the tithing envelopes? Do y'all give to missions here? We want to give to missions. And by the way, I saw the building. I want to write a check to the building. Do you need help driving a bus? I wish every new person that came in was like that. Amen, Brother Robert? Yep. But can I just tell you something? When I came into church, I wasn't like that. Nope. I'm like, oh, the offering envelope. That's where I put the gum when I'm done with it, when the flavor's done. I remember the first time I got on a bus, I'm like, I will never get on another bus in my life. I didn't know any of that stuff. I had issues. Thank God that they helped me get through those issues. Thank God they didn't see some punky kid that just quit high school. They saw somebody that needed the Lord and needed a good church family. Yes, sir. Let's see the opportunities. They're everywhere. Where you work, where you shop, where you eat, where you get coffee. And that's, by the way, that's where Friend Day comes in. Friend Day is an opportunity. If we just go out and invite a bunch of people, are they all going to come back? No, but I'll tell you what, there are some that come, and they're sitting there with a need. And they'll come because you invited them. Let's be ready. Let's be ready. Next, they were diligent to not be deterred from the task. I like what it says. When they sought means to bring him in, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. Now they got to church, or not church, it was kind of a not church house. They got to the house and it's like, we can't get in. And they said, let's go home. They're like, they're looking around. How can we get this guy in? They can't go through the front door. That's crowded. They probably looked in the window. That's crowded. There's nowhere to go. Then maybe one of them was in construction and said, look at the roof. Now, rooftops weren't as complicated as they were, as our roofs are, okay? They didn't get a Zaw and hack it into the thing, okay? But they're like, we can go up there and move some of those tiles and we could drop them down. So up they went. They were determined. They were not going to be deterred from their task. You ever notice how we're always looking for reasons why we don't have to do what we're supposed to do? We don't have to talk to people? I give to missions. And thank God, give to missions. but you still have a responsibility to talk to people. You say, well, which one do you think I should do? Should I give to missions or should I talk to people? What's most important? Both. Let's not categorize ourselves out of it. Well, I give to church. Keep it up, by the way, amen? We need it. Giving to church, you're not going to go get to heaven and Jesus is going to say, you know, did you ever talk to anybody about Jesus? Did you ever invite someone to church? No, but I tithed. By the way, tithe. I'm not telling you not to tithe. But he's like, great. See, well, because I tithe, I'm paying someone else to do that. That's your responsibility. And by the way, all of us that work on staff here, we all invited people before we ever worked on staff. The things I do now as a Christian, I did those before I ever worked on a church staff. I didn't do it because I worked on a church staff. I did it because I was a Christian. I was supposed to do it. And one of those things is sharing. And then the last thing is this. I'll skip some. They work together as a group. When Jesus looked, he didn't just see one person's face. He saw their faith. This group of guys. All that they did, the opportunity they took, the awareness they knew, and all these things, their dedication to the task, he saw them as they worked together. See, this isn't something we just do solo. We work together as a church to get the gospel out. By the way, sometimes we're out and about on ourselves and we share the faith, but we go out together. We're working together. We're on the same team. And by the way, you're all important. You know, I remember back when I got saved on Easter Sunday, 1978. You know it by now, and that's a long time ago. But I'll tell you, that was not the first time I had been witnessed to. I remember as a young boy, there was a church up on South Street. We were teenagers, and we were messing around, and someone from the church came out, and they witnessed to us there. I remember that very clearly. I remember one time sitting at a bus stop, waiting for my bus, and another teenage guy, he was a couple years older than me, he sat down on the bus, and he asked me if I knew the Lord, and he witnessed to me, and I didn't get saved at those times, but they talked to me about it. I remember before I got saved, even Pastor Esposito talking to me about it. And so when I went on that Easter Sunday, and I walked down the aisle, and I went outside, and I don't even know who the man was, and he sat down on a chair, and it was a crowded service, and we were outside by the grass, and he sat down with me, and he witnessed to me. To be honest with you, it was very easy for him. Didn't take that long, because everything he said, I already knew. Because I had been witnessed to by several people. They planted the seed, and this one planted some more seed, and this one made it really clear to me, and God was convicting me because of what they did, and that man was able to, in essence, reap the harvest, to catch the fish, to draw it in, but everybody else did the work. It was teamwork. When I get to heaven, it won't just be that one man that talked to me. It won't be, they had a guest preacher that Sunday morning. I remember his message about catching fish, Jesus, and he said, try the other side of the boat. And when he tried the other side of the boat, they caught the fish. And he said, maybe you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. His message was good. And I'm sure he'll get some. But every person that helped, you may go out and you may invite someone to church. They may not come. And maybe it'll be a year later, they'll think about it and then they'll come. You may go on a door, just leave an invitation because no one's home and you don't know who that person is. And they'll come home and maybe they won't come this month, but something bad's going to happen. Maybe in their family, maybe their health. And they'll remember that invitation that was left on their door. And they'll say, I need to go to church. And I got an invitation to that church. And you won't even know it's you that invited them. But God knows. You may talk to somebody and witness to somebody and tell about Jesus, and they won't accept it right then, but you don't know what's going to happen. I think Brother Fisher said that he got saved because he was walking down the street and they were street preaching, and a little girl gave him an invitation. The only reason he took it because he didn't want to be rude to the little girl. But when he went to bed that night, he could not forget what he read and what he heard. Those people probably don't even know that day that they reached that guy who pastors the church in San Diego. You don't know. It's teamwork. All of us just doing our part. Now, my question to you today is this. Will you do your part? Will you find that opportunity to be an encouragement to somebody? You meet somebody, it's like, how are things going? You could be in a coffee. Oh man, I'm having a tough time. You know, that's an opportunity. You may be in a hurry. It's like, man, I'm just going through some things right now. People will tell, how many of you ever had someone tell you something like that? You don't even know them. You were just like, how's everything going? Oh, just a rough day. That's your opportunity to say, why don't you come to church? Love to see you there sometime. Maybe you have a few more minutes and talk to them. Opportunities are everywhere. That's our goal, to do our part to fulfill our responsibility. Let's bow our heads for just a minute.